We love a Wednesday because Sherelle's on the Zoom. We love chatting to her as part of the team. And I reckon she's been up and about doing her little fitness session, having a shower. She's fresh. Sherelle, good morning.
Good morning. No, I haven't.
You look like you're ready to go.
I do have an excuse, a valid excuse, because the online program that I do is a live session that's run at 7:30.
Right.
So normally that's a great way to start my day. It's actually a very respectable time, but it just obviously doesn't fit into my Wednesday morning. So I prioritise speaking to you guys over that.
Well, we're very thankful for that. And our listeners are very thankful for that. And you get another hour just to play it later on, that session, at about 8:30.
That's right.
At a much more palatable time. Now, how's your world, Smack? What's going on?
Yeah, good. Everything's going well. I, just such a roller coaster ride barracking for Carlton over the last few years, but particularly this year, far out. It's been intense at times, like seriously intense at times. And obviously, that roller coaster ride is now over. We can just coast home. And, you know, with the news that Cade Simpson is retiring, I think. You know, he's been such an amazing player. I will really miss every time he gets the ball saying, Simpson-y. Is that's a Simpsons... sorry. That's a Simpsons reference. Obviously, not everyone gets that. But he's been incredible, actually, and such a feature of our backline for so many years. And it'll be weird not having him there.
Yes, well, after 18 of them, or 17 of them. Is that 18? 17, right? Anyway, a bloody long time. He won't know himself. And he won't know himself. And I can't wait to chat to him at some stage, because I wonder what he thought his career was going to be when he first rocked up. He was 27 kilos, not very tall, didn't do anything overly magnificently. He wasn't exactly in sort of number one pick territory. But what a player he has become, or he became, in the navy blue. And as Whitey said, embraced the long sleeve. Which is rare these days.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say made it easy to pick him out, but he was probably easy to pick out because of the 27-kilo arrangement. So we always knew where he was. The other thing that has been I probably need to ask you guys about the etiquette around getting tips, like racing tips from people and then not using them, because I did that with... both of you on the weekend, race one, particularly. I think Whitey, you were the one who gave me the tip on race one, and I did go against you because I'm in a tipping competition at the moment, where we get $1 each way on each in each race on the Saturday race days in Melbourne, and then the major race days over the Melbourne Cup Carnival. And out of the 18 or 19 people who are in this tipping competition, because I backed myself. And I backed the winner in race one,
Lord Belvedere.
I did. I'm fourth on the, fourth from the top. So I'm actually going all right. I collected $39.60 across the day for my $1 each way on each race. So I'm
did
pretty
you
happy.
Really? Well done. That's a great return.
Yes, very happy.
Well, the Shark will love you. I know Mick Sharkey, who does the Friday Form focus with Blue Eyes. I know he loved Lord Belvedere, and he's all over the Belvedere. So you and he can hang out and high five and talk about the Belvedere one day.
We can. But I did feel a little awkward when Adam sent a message going, "Oh no, my tip was not great," and I was like, "Actually, don't worry."
Yeah, I sort of put an hour's worth of research into it, got out the videotapes and really sort of, spent a lot of time. I was meant to be playing with the kids, but I said, nah, I've got something I need to do.
Oh, Sherelle's asked me to.
And she didn't even take the advice.
I didn't even take the tip. But I've got to say, when it's me who, I will put up my hand and say I'm not a great racing tipster.
First and foremost, yes, otherwise.
Well, I figure I probably need to go for some longer shots with my dollar each way just to try and build up if I can.
You did a bloody good job. I just sent you Dino's tip, so you're disrespecting Dino, really, which is pretty disappointing.
That's
anyway.
I did. That's all I did.
Oh, thank you, guys.
We're happy to help.
Meanwhile, where the Vixen's juggernaut is rolling on, am I allowed to say that? Probably not. We've secured top spot on the ladder, so... That's a good position to be in at this stage.
Well, that's a very interesting way for an assistant coach. You don't hear that in football these days, Whitey, saying, the juggernaut's rolling. We're us at the moment.
Right.
We're going beautifully. But it does take away the pain.
We're an unstoppable
train. It does take away the pain of following the Blues, I reckon, Sherelle, when you've got the dominant force in Super Netball.
It does just ease that slightly. But, it's been a really great season so far for the Vixens. And with my assistant coach's hat on, we all know how much that means when you actually get to finals. It means absolutely nothing, particularly when all the games are being played in the one venue, effectively. It's great that they've done just exceptionally well, particularly, you know, Liz Watson is one of the best players in Suncorp Super Netball. She's been out with an ankle injury and we still had that really great win against the crosstown rivals, the Magpies, on the weekend. So the Magpies got jumped us a little bit at the beginning and we were down 8-0. So they'd scored 8 before we'd even got on the board. So it was a bit of a shaky start. But anyway, they were able to dig their way out of it. And as I said, without Liz Watson, which is impressive.
Yeah, well, dominant force, as you said, locked away top spot with 2 games to go in Super Netball. And we're back to regulation sort of timelines now, aren't we? It's not the every 3 or 4 days hubville that's been happening for the season to this date. And they should be applauded too. We've talked about the AFL and getting the season off and making it happen through Hub Life and the applaudits that have come their way. The Super Netball and Netball Australia, whoever runs this competition, Sherelle, have done a hell of a job making this happen too, we should say, to this point.
We absolutely should say that. It was very close for the season not getting off the ground at all, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people did a lot of work to be able to make that happen. And, you know, you talk about the AFL and potentially the financial rewards being involved in that sport are much different to what it is in netball. But a lot of people have made that sacrifice still to be away in this hub situation. Most of them, it will end up being somewhere between kind of 12 and 15 weeks that they're away in this hub situation. So it's a massive chunk of time. So they all have done an incredible job to get it going. And you're right, we go now to the weekend games only. We don't have the weekday games. And I actually think it'll be a real adjustment for those teams who are up in the hub life to now you've suddenly got this time to think and to ponder your situation, and I think that will be something that the clubs need to deal with and make sure the players are adjusting to.
Yeah, I reckon it's a fascinating way to finish the season. Everything's been so helter-skelter at this point just to get games in to get the season done. And you finish with the last couple of games just back in regulation mode into a finals campaign. So everything will slow down, you would think. Even just the day-to-day rhythm of life will slow down, and that might affect some teams, you'd reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, who knows how it will affect them, and I'm sure they're all addressing it, and certainly at the Vixens we are. We're chatting about that and about ways to cope with that change of, it's a change of pace, it's a change of rhythm, because up until now it's been literally play, recover, have a look at the following game, and then you've either sometimes you had an extra day to get ready, but other days it was when you were playing the next day. So it really was, there's just no time to kind of sit and breathe in that space. So, and then add to that the final structure, which has just been announced yesterday, which is a traditional top four where 1 and 2 play off 3 and 4. And then the winner of 1 and 2 will get 2 weeks off, which will feel like about 4 years, I would have thought, after only having, you know, a day or two off in between games.
So, Sherelle, has it sort of changed your views a little bit on how a normal netball season might run moving forward? So playing those additional games, has it affected the standard at all? Have there been more injuries? What's the feedback been like from a playing perspective?
Yeah, I mean, there has been, there's been some injuries across the season, but we always see that. I think the initial kind of look at things, and I know that they're still just making sure they're gathering all the right data, but is that there hasn't been actually any more injuries and certainly any more major injuries. So that's been a real tick. But, I mean, I think you can see some of the teams getting a little bit fatigued, but as a general rule, I don't think it has. I think it was an interesting exercise to watch what it was like to play at midweek and not have, have a bit of clear air. I mean, the danger of that is that you know, we have a lot of regional fans. Let's say we talk about Victoria. We've got a lot of regional fans, and we would often get, you know, up towards 10,000 people at our games, which we wouldn't be able to do if we ran games on a weekday, which obviously wouldn't be great. So that they're all the things that they would need to consider. But there was certainly something about having that free air, which was a really positive thing. So, I mean, I think that netball will take a bit out of it for sure.
Yeah, because I just wonder whether there can be those sort of two licks of the ice cream that going forward, that next year, if everything goes back to normal, that you could play a potentially a similar sort of schedule where you've almost got the television game midweek for people to consume their netball that might just be latent sports fans as opposed to netball fans, but then you still get that weekend game where the people can come, because it can't be understated, 10,000 fans to games, they're massive crowds, and that's comparable to what happens in the NBL. But just to find a way of getting as many people interested in netball as possible, because I know myself personally, you know, I'm more likely to watch the netball midweek than I am on the weekends when there's all the other sports to watch. So
interesting. It's a really interesting point. Really interesting point. And I've got no doubt that everyone, the decision makers throughout Netball Australia and Suncorp Super Netball, will be considering all those things and the impacts that it will have, definitely. Because, and that's one thing that this season or this year has enabled lots of different sports to do, is, you know, explore some different ways of doing things. And what I do know is from a club perspective and a team perspective, we would usually have a main training session during the week, which would probably go for about two plus hours. And in some ways it would be more intense than a game. So in terms of the load that the athletes are taking, we found that it's actually not that much greater than what it would be in a normal week anyway, because you're removing that main session from their program. So, you know, again, as I said, there's just so many things, and we'll reflect on all those things from that club perspective, from a broader netball perspective. And I know we spoke to Liz Ellis a couple of months ago, perhaps, about the state of the game review that's happening at the moment around netball, which is looking not just at what's happening at that elite level, but right across netball, to try and make sure that we position ourselves to be in a real position of strength as we come out of this pandemic situation and with the landscape of sport at the moment.
All right, things might change. We'll see more on that through the next couple of months and the build-up to the next Super Netball season. Not finished this one yet. Two games to go and then some finals. The Melbourne Vixens right on track.